The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Want to fearlessly explore your creative spirit? Join artist Susie K. Edwards for Path of the Butterfly, a weekend workshop at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York, May 24th through 26. Experiment with a variety of art forms, engage in mindfulness, walking, and silent meditation, and discover a new and free-flowing creative vision. This workshop is for beginners and professional artists. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Stephen Farmer, psychotherapist, shamanic practitioner, author, and teacher, and I'll be exploring with you ways to connect with spirit animals, ancestors, spirits of nature, how to heal from trauma, and many other topics. So stay tuned. Hi, Stephen Farmer again, and I want to welcome you once again. And I have a guest today that I'm delighted to be able to have a conversation with, and that's definitely, they call it an interview, but it really becomes much more of a conversation. And of course, the focus is on my guest, and that's Mindahi. Mindahi is a man I met a couple of years ago. Anyway, I'll read you his bio. Mindahi Bastida is director of the Original Nations Program of the Fountain, a caretaker of the philosophy and traditions of the Otomi Toltec peoples, and an Otomi Toltec ritual ceremony officer. He is a consultant with UNESCO on issues related to sacred sites and bioculture. Mindahi has also served as director of the Original Caretakers Program at the Center for Earth Ethics. And I want to read you also a little bit of the introduction to this, his latest book, which is part of the Common Sentience series. Several authors, including myself, it's a really unique series in that, yes, there are experts in the field such as Mindahi, and at the same time, stories have been submitted about the particular topic that whoever is on the book, in this case Mindahi, is a professional and an expert about, which is ancestors. One of my favorite topics, as those of you who know me might have guessed. Anyway, I want to read a little bit more about his approach to ancestors, and then we'll get into the conversation. And this is from the back of the book called Ancestors. And let me get the subtitle here real quick. Divine Remembrances of Lineage, Relations, and Sacred Sites. Mindahi has to say is the full scope of our ancestral legacy extends far beyond blood relations. Whew, amen. Spiritual leader, that was me, amen. Spiritual leader Mindahi Bastida explains how the consciousness of ancestors is interwoven through the rich, through the web of time and space, and we are the synthesis of all that has ever existed in the universe. Let me repeat that sentence. We are the synthesis of all that has ever existed in the universe. Discover who the ancestors are, the legacy we each inherit, our connection to the motherlands, and the importance of sacred sites. So Mindahi, whew, you got a big load to carry, man. I love it. No, after reading what you wrote in the book, and again, there are several stories that have been submitted by others, it's very much an honor to have you as a guest on this podcast. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to have met you before, Stephen.
Right.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, Beck, I kind of lose track of time, you know, somehow, especially in this last 2 or 3 years with all the stuff going on about the pandemic and just everything else, you know, and everybody goes, wow, I think we're done with it, but I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see. Anyway, I do want to welcome you, and let's talk about how this has evolved for you, that you became I want to say more than interested. It's like you've lived it, you know, with this idea of ancestral influence and beyond the lineage, including but beyond the lineage. So how did you find yourself coming up to this point where you've written such a, by the way, beautiful story in the book about your philosophy and beliefs? Long question, but I'll give you a go here.
Yes, thank you for the beginning. You know, we are the expression of the four sacred elements, but not just as humans, but other beings around us. We are the expression of the fire, the sacred fire, the sacred waters, the sacred winds, and the sacred earth. Because in ourselves, as in the plants and other animals, we have the presence of those sacred entities. Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, I was seeing how the corn was also very, very close to us, to my family, to our people, to our culture. So it's not just a plant, it's a being.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt how the corn also got spirit, energy, and also it's in cycles. And it's so beautiful because when we are in the womb of our mothers, we also have this cycle to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with the movements of the moon, also the movements of the sun. So I began to think that why we are here, even why I was born in this family. At the beginning, it was uncomfortable for me. We were 10 brothers and sisters.
Oh my goodness, that would make you uncomfortable. Yeah, that alone.
you can imagine. So I said, there must be a reason why I was born in this family. Because my mind was beyond that, you know. I was thinking, do I deserve this? But then when I saw the night with the stars and the connection with the moon, and especially this bright star, which we call Dancer, Venus.
Mm.
So that connection began to, when I was little one, began to influence me so much. Because then I was in, we are here, but there are other families over there, other lights, other possibilities. So it was amazing. And then when I entered the milpa, you know, the milpa is the system where we grow corn, squash, chilies, mm-hmm. And other things in the farm. We're in
right.
The millions.
Right.
So I was also seeing how I was able to see this kind of pieces of ancestral pots, just pieces, like clay pieces.
Hmm.
And sometimes I was able to find some little kind of deities, kind of faces. So I was picking them up and bringing them to the altar in our home. So all of that, I said, wait, this is something that is from the past that our ancestors put in the milpas as a, you know, as our offering, as a payment to the to the milpas and to the deities and to the entities that dwells there. So then I understood why this is sacred. And the way of living is sacred. So I began to think, well, I'm here because of my blood lineage.
Right.
My lineage, my ancestors. Thanks to them, I'm here. But I began to think, how were they able to be here in this world?
Yeah.
Well, we have other ancestors, bigger family.
Yeah, yeah.
Mother Sun, Mother Earth, you know, other bigger family. So also the, you know, some sacred plants, the mountains, they began to connect with my heart, or I began to connect my heart with them. I honor them. They were before the human family was here, the human species.
Right.
So that's the reason they are all, in our wisdom, we say that all the soil that we see around, all the, what others call dirt, I don't like the, that they call the dirt,
yeah.
is soil,
soil.
Is alive, the soil. It's our ancestors. Now that's the very reason when you know this called the fossil fuel energies, like the oils, they are being burnt. We are burning our ancestors. We are not respecting enough. We don't ask just to take what is needed, but we ask sometimes to take more. So in the origins, we were said that we needed to take care of life, not to take over. And that's one of the main teachings from our ancestors, taught us. But sometimes we have forgotten our origins. That's the very reason we need to know from what lineage we come from. And beyond that, because, for example, here in the Sacred Valley of Zambata, the Sacred Valley of the Moon, in Toluca Valley, where I was born, you know, we have this volcano, which is called Sinantecatl, the one that is dressed in white because there's snow. And because of climate change, we don't see that much snow now. But we know that there are entities, deities, that dwells in this place. And also by the lake, where the longest river in Mexico is called Lerma River, we call that the Great River, there is this wetlands. And there's an entity that we also know, is also known as a deity, which is called Tlanchane, Atlanchana, or Tlanchana, the mermaid.
The mermaid.
The mother of the waters.
Mm.
And the mother of all living beings that dwells in the wetlands. She's very special. She's very special because she's our ancestor, and she can guide us how to live in harmony and not to take more than we need. So there is a correlation, there is a reciprocity, sacred reciprocity with life, with mystery.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I began to think when I was growing up, well, we are here not just because of the blood lineage, but because of the beings that are around. And there is a reason why we are born in a specific place. Sometimes people move because the family moves, but the responsibility follows you. If you go to another place, you must learn how to enter a sacred place with protocols. Ask permission. Because all the places around the world, there are entities, deities that are our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm putting this example of the Tlanchana, but we have other entities, like the feather serpent, which that is is very well known. Quetzalcoatl, the feather serpent, that we call Mashikenya. You know, like
Kenya.
The dragons.
Mashi Kenya.
Mashi Kenya. Like, you can find those in Japan, in China, in Indonesia, everywhere.
Yes.
If you dig into the sacred history or stories. So those are connected with us. And I can also tell you that animals are connected with us. For example, there are some communities that some families are called, oh, the turkeys, or the other families are called the deer family
I
or
understand.
the bear family, because of this connection with those special animals or plants or
Right.
minerals,
Right.
right?
Yeah, I understand. I think I'm thinking there's so much of what you have said and you have to say that those of us who have been raised in, let's call it Western civilization, although I'm not sure it's a civilization is a good word to use, but for sake of our discussion here, a conversation. I think that what I see happening in the work that I do, because we are definitely colleagues in a certain way, is the lost memory of that connection with ancestors, the lost memory of our intimacy with the land and all the beings of the land. I think I'm doing what I can and what I've assigned, what I came here to do, basically. I think basically I'm doing that, but it really is still there's that Western mindset, that I know creeps in sometimes where I feel that separation, even though I believe it's an illusion, that the real illusion is that we are separate beings. We're so intimately connected. And I think what you bring, God bless you, because I think what you bring is some very ancient truths about our relations, that it really is about our relationships all over. You name it, it's about relationship. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree because how come we could be in this world without other ancestors? How? There's no way. There's no way. So now that we see this, let's say, civilizational crisis, there's a civilizational crisis. As you say, maybe we shouldn't call civilization. Maybe,
Right.
to become a civilized person is not just in the material, but
Right.
also in the spiritual world. So when
Right.
you are evolving to another state of consciousness that you really take into consideration all things that makes you feel a person
Right.
in the connection with others, because we are not alone. As I say, we are not alone. When we have this crisis, we can ask for guides, we can ask for support, because now that we are passing through these difficult times, there are many kinds of crisis. Let's say there's a general crisis about our presence in this world. So how can we reconnect to the ancestry, to the our ancestors? Well, just beginning to think, some people is many people, thousands and millions of people are now testing their blood, so they can know what is their
Right.
lineage, and they can honor to that lineage. Because if that family came to this world, it's for a reason, and then the connection with other ancestors that are alive or in some kind of presence in this world.
Right.
So that's why we need to recover that. I say that dignity and identity
Identity, yeah.
as a human family. We need that to recover that collective dignity, because we have misbehaved. with other relatives. It seems that they are there and we are here.
Yeah.
No, we live in the same place. We live in this beautiful planet. Even though the mother sea is a little bit far from here, from the, you know, we live in the central valleys of Mexico, but we have that connection.
Right.
We pray for the beings in the sea. And we know that there are rivers in the sky. Even if you don't see them, some scientists are beginning to name them or to acknowledge them.
Yeah.
But we know from before that there are the rivers in the sky are there, as there are rivers underneath. There are rivers in ourselves. And even, you know, the rocks, the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
The soil, it seems that they are, some people, for some, you know, for some people, they are inert. They are not as let's say, alive as us. For us, they are alive.
Yeah.
And they are alive. Even the metals, they are alive. They have their own evolution.
Yeah.
So they also have the presence of the four sacred elements, not just carbon, not just carbon, the four sacred elements. So in the time and space that we are living now, we need to recover that connection with the ancestors if we want to see the future. There's no way to see the future if we don't acknowledge where we come from.
You know, it's I share an interesting experience along those lines, Mindahi. It's only about three evenings ago, and I typically have a couple of dogs I take for a walk in the park. I live in a fairly, I'm always a little surprised by that, but in a fairly suburban neighborhood in Southern California. But there's a park there, you know, there's always the land, you know, it's here. And I think I sort of leaned over a little bit, you know, put my hands on my knees, you know, just looked at the ground, and something happened that the best way I could explain it was, I often hear messages, you know, through my inner voice or my mind, but my inner voice, I call it. And as I was leaning down, what I could see is like this dance of circles within circles within circles, you know, and globes and spheres. And the voice came in and said, what you're looking at right now are your ancestors, all that has come to this point to be you. And then it shifted, and now let's show you another piece of this. These are those that a part of you is going to continue on in some fashion. So it was very abstract, but very, ooh, I get chills, you know, it was very, very real. And I think my observation, Mindahi, is that more and more people are awakening, you know, to interest in ancestors. And I believe certainly what I'm totally in alignment with you, although I think you have a much greater depth of understanding of that and the experience of that, you know, that those connections or that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I find people are, you mentioned it, you know, looking up their ancestors, ancestry.com, etc., for their lineage. But I also believe what's important is the wisdom that comes forth from you and from others as well. There's a little more to this, you know, than just grandma and grandpa and great. Yes, that's important too. But let's go ahead, let's stretch back. Might be kind of a big stretch for a lot of us, you know, but it can be done. So that's really what I wanted to add to that, is just that experience of knowing and being shown and told, yes, this is where you come from and this is where you're going to.
Want to fearlessly explore your creative spirit? Join artist Susie K. Edwards for Path of the Butterfly, a weekend workshop at Omega Institute's beautiful campus in Rhinebeck, New York, May 24th through 26. Experiment with a variety of art forms, engage in mindfulness, walking, and silent meditation, and discover a new and free-flowing creative vision. This workshop is for beginners and professional artists. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
So I think it offers a much broader understanding of our relationships. I remember going into a sweat lodge. It was a Lakota sweat lodge. And what you say going in is all my relations in Lakota, Mtakweasin, all my relations. It's an acknowledgement of that. And I believe that, again, those of us who've been steeped in Western civilization, if we'll use that word, really need to get it. Be the simplest way I would say it. And hopefully more and more people are beginning to understand, yeah, you're connected. Look at the sun. Or maybe don't look at it. Look at the moon. That's your grandmother, or an elder ancestor. Wow. So are you teaching, or do you have groups that you travel with or take to sacred sites, or?
I go to sacred sites, but it's ongoing work with some spiritual elders to carry out ceremonies and rituals to acknowledge or reactivate the sacred site, and especially those who have been threatened or have been desecrated. So it's the work that we are doing. But actually, I'm not taking groups. I have been offered to take some groups to some places, but life is very short, and I focus on doing the most important work that Mother Earth is asking. But you were saying something very important, Stephen, about how people could reconnect with other, beyond blood lineage, with other ancestors. There's simple rituals, simple ceremonies to carry out. My grandfather taught me how to acknowledge the day and the night, especially around the what that we call Father Sun. He said, stand up and wait for the sunrise. Stay there for 2, 3 minutes. Connect. If you can do more, beautiful. But just don't even say anything. Just make your presence in front of this Father Son. Just stay there. And if you have something to say, say it in your mind or in words, however you want. And then there is another time at noon. We always are we are working here and there, walking, but stop just for some minutes and acknowledge that time and give thanks for the life that we have. Give thanks for the family that we have and for the beautiful landscape and beautiful biocultural heritage that we have until now. So this is so, and then at dusk, in between 6 and 7, it depends around where you are in the world. Just around 3 moments. There are more moments if you want. 3 p.m. is another time. In the night is the same. But those moments are special. So you, for the beginning, you acknowledge your being with other beings from the earth to the sky, and from the sky to the earth.
Thank you. I like what you have to say. And I like also that these are relatively simple gestures, but it's the intention and the presence. You use that word presence. Be present with it. Stop.
Yes.
Get rid of it. Those who are listening, you can't see me, but I'm waving my hands right by my head, going, go away, thoughts, go away. And I think it really is those moments. I call them, I was starting to write an article about awesomeness and how frequently you hear that. Well, hey, awesome. Somebody gives me change at the store, and or I give them correct change, and they go, oh, awesome. I go, I want to say so. I say, that's not awesome. Go out and, go out and look at the moon,
Yes.
and like you're saying, stand with the moon.
Yeah.
I remember one experience I had some time ago, Mindahi, where I was walking in the park, and ordinarily I don't take my phone. You know, I don't want to be locked in the phone. But this time, for some reason, I took it. I looked up at the moon and I went, oh my God, it's full moon. Oh, I got to get a picture of this. And I stopped and I went, what are you doing, fool? There's nothing that can compare to the
No.
experience. There's nothing that can compare. Yes, you can take pictures and show them to so and so, but what's the value in that? How about just standing, like you said? I like the way you said it, just standing in presence, even for 2, 3 minutes. And I know that the listeners can take this. We happen to be recording, although it'll play a little bit later, but recording on the day of the winter solstice, which I think is a real marker in the Celtic wheel, but certainly any of, if you look at it as a circular process, here we are at the winter solstice. The
That's
sun
right.
will look like it's standing still for a couple of days, and then guess what? Father Sun's going to start moving again.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's probably, excuse me, not probably, I know there's ceremonies, sacred ceremonies, and sacred rituals that can be done. And I think you've just presented one that's quite simple. And thank Father Sun for his warmth and his light.
And we can recover that connection, anyone, because we are humans, we have our senses, but we have to put our intention. And for some, it's a lot of work to
Yeah.
carry out, for some, because they have forgotten their lineages for many, many years.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
if you begin little by little, you are going to recover that sacred link with our ancestors and the presence here in this world. And then we can also share and exchange our experiences, and then we can support each other. And it's
Yeah.
what we call a come back home,
I
because
like that.
we are just another species. We are not the peak of the creation. And we are not the most intelligent ones in this world. We are just another, we are intelligent, but not that much. If we can see what we have done to this beautiful home, then we have
Trashed
to
it.
behave. We have to behave.
We have to behave ourselves, yeah.
Yes.
We're not the most intelligent. I was going to make a joke then and say something like, really? Oh no. Oh no, you blew my whole thing. No, but I get it. You know, there's a place I find, like I think probably many other human beings, that there is this practiced arrogance, is the best way I could describe it, one way to describe it. You know, that somehow we're better than, you know, that plant. You know, we're better than that tree, or that we know what we're doing, or we have this self-reflective consciousness, so we must be pretty special. You know, probably when at the same, there's a different kind of consciousness. When I look at my dog who's laying over here on the couch and thankfully not barking, so I have to let him out and interrupt our session. But to recognize in this process, I like to call the awakening process that is going on, I think that's the good news. And if there is such a thing as bad news, that I think we're being forced, in a sense, to reconcile the fact that we have trashed the planet as a species. And God bless people such as yourself who have come from indigenous backgrounds that have practiced these ways that we've been discussing. Like, of course, we're connected to all that is, of course. But to, shall we say, in a way, dumb it down a little bit for those of us who are not raised in that, but to offer the teachings that have come from your particular tradition and recognize that it's not just your tradition, these are grammar school, in a sense, you
That's
know,
right.
as a way to understand our relationship, that we're not any big deal, not really. We think we are, generally, I'm generalizing, but we're not that big of a deal. And that perhaps we do need to be humbled,
Yes.
you know, before we wake up to that reality, truly wake up.
And actually, I remember always my grandfather saying, be humble. And all that implies is to be humble, not just among humans. Be humble with the Great Spirit, with Father Sky, with all living beings, because they have the right to be here as well. So that was the main teaching from my grandfather. But he was saying to be humble is not to be, not to do anything, not to be responsible. To be humble is to have this energy and acknowledgement of all that it is. And to be humble is not to be silly, is to be intelligent, really intelligent. It's the other way around.
I find it interesting. Humble, I looked it up one time as far as the root word, and the root word is similar to HUMUS in English, humus, which is of the earth. Yeah, that's what it's about. Anyway, Mindahi, I just really appreciate you coming on board here and talking to us. And again, you have a book that's out now as part of the Common Sentience series.
Yes.
There it is. Yes. Ancestors.
This is the book.
There we are. And it's Divine, I don't remember the subtitle, but Divine Remembrance of Lineage, Relatives, and Sacred Sites. So I strongly suggest you pick this book up, order it, give it away, order extra copies. It's very well written, I might say, as a one writer to another too. I commend you for that. It's very easy to understand. And it speaks to a lot of what we've been discussing today. So I want to encourage all of you listeners, go out and get the book. And eventually, as I understand, it will be on Audible as well, but that's down the road a piece. So get the book. And then Mindahi, translate your other books too. Get those translated.
Yes.
There's got to be a way to do it. There's got to be a way to do it.
Yes.
I think, again, you're bringing a lot to the table, showing up this way. And it's an honor and a privilege. To call you my friend and my colleague, and in another way, my brother.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me, and blessings to all the audience, and hopefully they can get the book and be in touch, and always there is a way to come together.
Yep, we are. I think we're on the path too. All right, thanks again, and thank you for all who are listening. Need I say again, get the book. This man has a lot to say. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you join me for future episodes where I'll share some powerful healing practices and meditations, introduce you to some amazing guests and friends of mine who will stop by for some conversation, and on occasion, I'll pull some oracle cards from one of my decks and do readings. I'll also share some of my original music that I'm sure you'll enjoy. If you like what I'm doing, please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to my show page on mindbodyspirit.fm, where you can also get the free mobile app to listen to any of my shows or find some new favorites. If you'd like to contact me with questions, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, or send an email to info@drstephenfarmer.com. You can also find lots of material on that website, drstephenfarmer.com, so please feel free to explore. Please also know that by sending a question, you're giving me permission to possibly use it in a future podcast, so others may benefit from it. And to close, I leave you with the four most important words to take with you: gratitude, love, compassion, and forgiveness.
Intuition is our spiritual GPS and the single best tool that we have for navigating our lives. I'm Victoria Shaw. And on my Intuitive Connection podcast, I will share with you the ways to connect with your intuition and awaken the gifts of your soul. In each episode, I'll draw on my own intuitive gifts and my training as an Ivy League trained counselor and psychologist to help support you in reaching your highest potential. Start listening now on Mind Body Spirit FM Podcast Network or wherever you find your podcasts.